The Haynes manager's budget would bolster the police force and take a new approach to economic development. And the local Fish and Game Advisory Committee will weigh in on the Tier 3 process. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Abby Collins. Those stories and more up next. If proposed changes in the Haynes interim borough manager's budget are approved, the town could see an expanded police force, a new strategy for economic development, and a slight mill rate increase. Brad Ryan released his fiscal year 2018 spending plan Friday. As KHNS's Emily Files reports, Ryan says he created a budget that looks beyond the status quo and forges a new direction for the borough.
Part of that new direction is giving the Haynes Police Department more resources to address local alcohol and drug abuse issues. Ryan frames his proposal to increase the police budget with that goal in mind. He also hopes it will cut down on systematic turnover. The boosted police budget reverses the direction former manager Dave Sosa took in 2015. In response to state budget cuts, Sosa downsized the police force from 5 to 4 officers. A new police chief, Heath Scott, took over midway through 2016. In recent months, he made his case to the Public Safety Commission and Assembly to restore that 5th officer position that was eliminated less than 2 years ago. Interim manager Ryan heeded Scott's request in his spending plan. Adding a 5th officer raises expenses by $54,000. That may not seem like much of a change, but the police budget has already increased by about $100,000 during this fiscal year. It's partly due to increased salaries from a new bargaining agreement and Chief Scott's $15,000 in moving expenses. But the biggest factor in the increase is a $63,000 budget amendment the Assembly recently approved to cover unanticipated costs, including overtime. To offset the cost of police expansion, Ryan suggests trimming personnel expenses where possible. He proposes not filling a part-time office assistant job in the admin building. He also restructured the Public Works Department following the retirement of longtime Superintendent Ralph Borders. The shifting of public works duties saves about $20,000. Ryan also proposes a small townsite property tax increase to raise revenue. Townsite rates would go up by 0.1 mils, from 10.47 to 10.57. That equals a $10 increase for every $100,000 worth of property. Another significant change in the budget is Ryan's plan for the 1% sales tax dedicated to tourism and economic development. In his budget last year, Ryan eliminated a borough economic development director position. Now he proposes using the sales tax income for a different approach, an economic development corporation. The newly formed HEDC asked the borough for $95,000, which Ryan includes in his plan. The money for the private corporation is likely to be a topic of debate as the Assembly combs through the budget. Meanwhile, Ryan decreases tourism spending by about $50,000. He says much of that cost saving comes from a new online marketing platform. The budget stays status quo when it comes to school funding. Ryan offers the same amount of borough funding as the past few years, about $1.7 million. The maximum the borough could give is about $1.9 million. Ryan also includes funding for 2 major projects currently in the conceptual stages, the Lutac Dock and the Portage Cove Waterfront Trail. Ryan designates $100,000 from cruise ship passenger tax revenue for the trail. A little over $1 million is earmarked for Lutac Dock designs. The borough's preferred dock renovation option is estimated to cost about $36 million. How to pay for work on that vital facility is one of the major questions facing the borough. Ryan points out that the borough still has healthy fund balances to offset increased costs and reductions in state support. He proposes drawing from savings to cover gaps in the budget. But he says the Assembly needs to explore other revenue-generating options if it wants to keep mill rates low. Some options are taxes on alcohol, marijuana, natural resources, or tours. Ryan also suggests drawing the maximum amount possible from the borough's permanent fund savings, about $300,000. Over the next couple months, the Assembly will hold budget meetings before adopting a final spending plan. The first discussion is set for Tuesday in a Committee of the Whole meeting at 5:30 p.m. In Haines, I'm Emily Files.
How should nominations for Outstanding National Resource Water Protection be evaluated? State officials are trying to figure that out. At a recent meeting of the Upper Lynn Canal Fish and Game Advisory Committee, members debated whether they should take a stance in the process. Advisory Committee members Derek Poinsett and Randy Jackson went to Juneau for a recent workshop on the Outstanding Water or Tier 3 nomination process. That was led by the Department of Environmental Conservation's Michelle Hale. Tier 3 designations shield waterways from significant pollutants. The Chilkat Indian Village of Klukwan nominated the Chilkat River for the high-level protection. But the nomination is in limbo because the state is still working out the process for evaluating requests. Poinsett suggested the committee submit an official public comment, but not everyone in the group was sure they need to weigh in at this point. Here's Skagway's Darren Belial.
To me, as an advisory board, it's not our job to figure out all the rules and regulations for this, which seems to be what the topic keeps going to. Our job is to say we should go to this agency, and that's what we support, not to figure out what all the rules are.
Will Prisciandaro also questioned whether it's the group's job to get involved in this part of the conversation.
Making the river tier 3 or not is going to have a major impact on fish game people in the valley. That is definitely what this board does. But as far as developing rules to mold that process, it could be hard. You might not like something. The molding of the process is almost more of, I don't know if it fits in this board or not.
But Kip Kermoyan pushed back on that.
This is exactly what we're supposed to be doing. If we have an opportunity to express how we feel regarding the sustainability of these resources, anything that we can do to contribute to the process that's going to affect that end is valuable. And they're relying on, that's what the AC is. That's what we do.
So did Poinsett.
I think it does matter to us because I think if it's a DEC process or it's a board process, they will listen to us a lot more than if it's the governor or the legislature.
Poinsett drafted a comment letter. It's his suggestion that DEC have the ultimate authority over Tier 3 designations. He also made recommendations about what criteria should be used in evaluating requests and who should be able to make nominations. Last summer, the committee wrote a letter in support of giving decision-making power to a state agency instead of the legislature, saying decisions should be scientific rather than political. Kermoyan reiterated that stance last week.
My view is that it's critical that we voice our concerns in support of sustainability for those resources. And having it science-based rather than political-based is everything, in my view.
In that first letter, the group didn't specify which state agency should have the final say. Last year, Governor Walker introduced legislation that would put nomination decisions in the hands of lawmakers, but withdrew the bills after receiving pushback. In a recent teleconference on the subject, Hale said if decisions were left solely to DEC, it's unclear how the state would pay for the additional time and resources. Despite some members' hesitation, the Fish and Game Committee does plan to draft a comment letter. They'll take into account Poinsett's suggestions and their previous correspondence. Their next meeting is scheduled for April 27th. For KHNS News, I'm Abby Collins. Thanks for joining us this evening. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org. We also have news and announcements on our KHNS Facebook page, so make sure you follow us there. We're always open to your comments and story ideas, so drop us a line at news@khns.org or reporter@khns.org.